Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 233 today on the show. Our first third-time appearance, Macon Pleva, former Iowa fullback from 2011 to 2015. Loved to run his head into opposing players, just like Drake did. Makes for a great conversation. He's from Wisconsin. He's a Milwaukee Bucks fan. There's a little Suns-Bucks action going on in this one, plus a whole lot more. So sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washoe Walk-Ons fans, to another episode of the podcast. This is one of those renditions of the podcast where it's the Drake should have just kept his fucking mouth shut podcast, because I think a couple episodes ago, I got on here and I opened my fat mouth, Phoenix up 2-0, and I was talking all the shit in the world that I possibly could about the Bucks, and especially a couple of their fans that I know quite personally. And one of those fans happens to join us today. My brother Macon is back. Another episode that you guys are going to enjoy. I know you guys like Macon. Macon likes to shit on me, and he's my older brother, and he gets to do that. So I hope you guys enjoy this, and it should be fun-filled.
What it do, baby?
Macon is back.
It's been too long, man. I've missed him too much.
Well, and
yeah.
Yeah, it's what is this, third time, Mike?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, this is number three, I believe.
So I think
good to be back.
Yeah, I think that makes you our most had guest on the show. If Josie was a cool cat or Ike had more time, it'd probably be them, but they're busy, you know, like I guess making money, playing football and shit. So
they got more important shit to do.
I guess so. And they both have families too. And there's that.
By the way, how's being married, dude?
Being married, it's good, man. We're figuring it out. We're looking for a house in this terrible market, but it's life's good, man. Can't complain.
Are you gonna be a senior soon? Little club junior coming.
Determined.
TBD.
No, not yet.
TBD. Wow, Drake, you're trying to fish it out.
We got married. We're just enjoying life right now. There's nothing planned.
I like being the crooked uncle to a lot of these youth out here, and I'm just looking for more kids to be the crooked uncle.
Hey, I hear you. All in good time. I think that's the best way to answer that. I think she'd answer it differently, but I'm going to say all in good time.
Macon, you cannot let your kid ever meet Drake.
What? Dude, we played ball together. What do you mean?
You have to introduce him to everything, you know, the good and the bad. So he'll definitely meet Drake.
I guess in this
you gotta throw him in there.
Yeah, the spectrum of experience, Drake does fall somewhere in there. It's probably good to see the path that you don't want to go down, right? You gotta.
Yeah, it's like why you practice fourth and one for a reason. Nobody likes to do that shit, but you gotta practice that kind of shit.
That's the best way to describe Drake ever, dude.
That was one of the best things that's ever been said on this podcast.
Fast Friday when we do the last second, you got to run the field goal group in from the sideline. You hope you never have to pull that one out of the playbook, but if you do,
listen, you're gonna meet a kid today that I used to play ball with. And you hope you don't run into people like this, but now you know how to understand how to deal with it. So that's about what it is.
It's like when you go to a big city and you see the homeless guy in the corner, and they're just downtown, and you're like, hey, you know, son, this is, you know, some people aren't as fortunate as us. And
anybody got a couple of dollars?
I didn't bury you as homeless. That was all Kluver. He took a turn there.
Dude.
Drake's far from homeless.
I felt about a week ago when I was talking to you, I felt like I was a king. And now I feel a little bit homeless sitting down 3-2 going to Milwaukee.
I told you not to freaking count your chickens, man. This has been the Bucks series every single round. They dropped the first game, I think, in every round.
What's up with last night? I didn't watch. I'm not into the basketball. I mean,
it was just another choke job by the Suns.
I heard that the Bucks shot really well last night.
Actually, I thought the Suns shot really well last night. They were up 16 at the end of the first, and then the Bucks just decided to move the ball, and the Suns are just trying to let Booker score 40 a night and lose. That's what happened.
Yikes.
Giannis is playing like a true MVP finally.
He's really shooting free throws like a true MVP too.
I mean, that's all anyone has on him at this point.
I mean, yeah, but none of his free throws count because he takes so damn long. There is a delay game penalty for a reason. Like, let's start calling the cat.
I got a question, Drake. You like the dude that was counting the dollar bills.
No,
that's
no,
like your kind of shit.
No, I knew. No. No. Like, that's bullshit.
I was watching it. I'm like, there is nobody I know that thinks this guy's cool, but maybe there's one guy.
Drake Cooley.
Tell me that you don't think that guy's a tool.
Bro, I turned to all the people I was watching it with and I said the exact quote, imagine being that guy.
I know. I'm fucking with you. That guy looked like an idiot. There, you see the L's? He was doing the L's on Twitter.
He deserves that.
Yeah, that's yeah.
I don't get I get it that he takes forever, but like why everyone loves the count. I don't like it.
Oh, come on,
rhythm,
it's a trend,
like,
dude. People just got to be back in a stadium like a month ago, dude. They're dog shit fucked up and they just want to yell at the guy.
I feel that. That's true. I mean, he does take a while. The thing that does bother me is he always tells the ref to wait to get the ball, and he takes like an extra 6 seconds. It's like, all right, at that point, like it's like the third quarter, man. You gotta be able to pick the ball up.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he's waiting for someone to come tie his shoes and suck him off quick before he has to shoot his free throw. It's like, come on now. You know?
He takes his time. It takes time. He gets in his rhythm.
Yeah. Make you
he's
said
earned that right. He's a two-time MVP.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's a Greek freak. You said before we hit the record button, which is why I hit the record button, that you and Drake were talking about the pain, the suffering of being a true fan versus, you know, Drake's potential maybe life
bandwagon is what I said.
Yeah, moving situation bandwagon.
Bullshit, there's no pain behind his eye. He's just having a good time.
Right.
Pain is being a Bucks fan for your first 28 years of your life. That's pain. You know, the amount of like shit that I took when all like throughout Iowa and like the Bucks have sucked for a long time. People don't remember that. But what people don't remember is they were good. Let's look back to 2001 and then they got screwed over by the refs. Like literally, like they came out, what's his name? Donahue admitted to cheating. Just so the Philly and Iverson can go. But we've been through the shit. So I've earned this right to talk shit. And
but listen, you don't know how good it was going to feel to bury it into you and Pete if it went the Suns way. I would have been sending you the most videos from the parade. Like, oh, man, could have been y'all, but not quick enough.
I admit, it would have hurt really bad.
Well, let's backpedal a little bit because the series ain't over now. Series ain't over.
But, I mean, they're going to Milwaukee.
That's true.
Yeah, but I mean, no, go ahead.
Hey, no, I was just gonna say it's not over, but I'm not gonna jinx it. I'm gonna come back on that. I'm gonna step off that because as soon as I say some shit like that,
Meg's scared to talk on it right now. He really is. What if the fate of Milwaukee is on Megan Plevna's back right now?
You're right. In that case, I'm just going to say we just got to keep doing what we're doing. Been through the ringer.
Yeah. Speaking of the ringer, the boys in Iowa City, they just went through their first game simulator of the summer last Friday Friday. So, Mike, does it feel like when it gets around to this time of the year, you know, it gets a little hot, and you know, it's a little sticky. Feels like 23B should just be part of the day, or you know, like little blocks.
It's getting to be that time.
Yeah.
It's getting to be that time. It was funny. I was actually talking to my brother who's training, and he was telling me, yeah, he's telling me, he's like, don't you think quarters would be harder than game simulators? Cause this was his first game simulator. That was last week. I'm like, you haven't done a game simulator.
No, he's like,
he's wrong.
He's not, bro. No. Game simulators were not that bad.
Dude, they're harder.
I'm not sure where I'm at. You're on this one.
Dude, but think about it.
Quarters are easy.
The quarters happened after stations in 60 sometimes, or whenever the long quarter runs happen. And the game simulator sometimes happened at like night when you were running at dusk and it was cool out there and like it was actually like a cool environment.
Yeah, but it also happened at 98 degrees at 3 o'clock after skills and drill.
But it still wasn't as bad.
I'm gonna say that
you probably just ran like two flat routes that day. Like it can add up fast, bro.
Bro, put my meat in your mouth. You know I took more reps than you. You were a fucking sandbagger. Into this right now.
That is bullshit. That is bullshit, and you know it. Maybe one camp.
But got hosed.
Right, but we were limited up top there. We were struggling with some injuries.
And I understand that they were going to let you limp your way to the first game and make sure you made it. Like, that's cool. But God damn, I got beat like a fucking mule.
Yes.
Macon, were you put out to pasture senior year? Was that what that was? Were you hurting?
No, this would have been junior year. I dealt with a shoulder injury like the whole year. Cox tore his ACL. So it was like, hey, cool it, you're up. You know, it was a lot of coaching. But I will say that I would defend myself here. The year before that, spring ball, it was just Cox and I. Ones, twos, threes, it was just Cox and I.
We actually talk about your spring ball, the finish to your career in spring ball quite often, and your 9B plays in a row with the second team.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that's why I don't feel like for people when they complain, it's like, you roll the tape. They just kept changing wills. Like, oh, give them another will linebacker. And we just kept fucking running the same shit. I'm like, is this for real? Can I at least get like a wheel route or something? They're like, yeah, 23B, running again. Yes. There was, I think, 6 will changes in the same drive. It's the same play.
But Macon was the guy every single one. That's tough.
Yeah, they just kept running the same. Hurry.
It's tough.
It's tough.
What do you like in that too, Macon? Is there anything else that you've been through in your life that has been as difficult as a 9-play set, 23B, just every time?
At some point, you just kind of go numb. I wouldn't say it's the most difficult thing. It's just like, when is it going to break? You know, it's like, you know what I mean, Drake? Eventually, you get into kind of like a zone, and it's like, whatever. It's not like a mental breakdown as much as you think. I think the harder ones are when you're sitting there in the cold and we're losing and we have like the spread offense in, and then it's like, oh shit, 4th and 1, run a 23 breeze, you know? And it's like, holy shit, I gotta like, you're not loose. You're a little bit cold and you just got to snap into it. I think those are harder than running 6 in a row. Cause at least you're like just in it.
That hurts. That hurts, by the way, when it's cold and you haven't been in.
I think that's the toughest part about being a fullback. I mean, obviously, it's definitely not the toughest position on the field, but in terms of, like, you have to stay ready because you can go from fucking not doing anything for 20 minutes to you have 2 huge pivotal blocks right away, and they're, like, high impact. And if you miss, everyone's going to know about it.
Yeah, don't
choke. Or if you get thrown out the club.
It's interesting. I've never thought about it that way. It's almost – and I understand you guys are both going to get this like gut reaction of don't throw me in with a specialist, but in the way that that works structurally in a play set, it's almost similar, right? Except for you guys, when you're called upon, it's a physical thing, right? There's not a lot of thinking. it's like, okay, just get this done, right? And for the specialists, it's obviously like the skill of punting it well or snapping it well or kicking it well. So that's
I got thrown out of the club so bad. I got thrown out of the club so bad in our last bowl game. It was like one of the worst. If you go watch it, you would be like, oh my God, get this kid a fucking stretcher. Like, I got murked.
I think I might have seen it.
Dude, the kid looked at my. Go ahead.
We've all had it, though. No, I was going to say, we've all had those, so I can't even make fun.
The kid looked over at the sideline and said, y'all need a new fullback. He said that right in my face.
That's not good. That's not good. That's bad news.
I got thrown out of the club against Maryland. I think it was the second half, and I was running at this guy because he was talking shit all day. I don't even know his name, but he was good. And I'm like, I'm going to fuck him up. And ran in there, and he took my knees out. You know how that works. Just you slide on your forehead for about 5 yards and look like a fool, and he's talking shit. So I'm like, well, I do not want that to happen again. So I go tiptoeing in there the next time, and he throws me directly out of the club. And I was pissed. And we ran a hurry up, ran outside zones, cracked on, I think it was outside linebacker. We scored a touchdown next play, but I just chucked my helmet. I was pissed. I was so embarrassed. You're more embarrassed, like, that's going to suck tomorrow in film than, like, yeah, we just scored. Everything's fine. It was just like, that was bad. That was the first thought in my head. It would have been – I think it would be 15. So, yeah, it was 15.
All right, so we won at least. So at least didn't feel that.
Yeah, no, we were going to win. Honestly, the first thought that came in my head is like, God damn, my dad drove all the way down here just to watch me get fucking tossed in a backfield. Like, that is not going to happen again. So I was like, whatever play was called, it was like, I'm just going to run as hard as I can into somebody and see what happens. And we ended up scoring. I'm pretty sure it was more Akram just making a play than my block, but whatever.
There was a lot of that in our career. I want to say I faintly remember that, because I don't remember too many moments vividly, but I think I remember you throwing your helmet, and maybe you threw your helmet a lot, but it feels like around that time.
One time in my career.
Okay, so then
really? You only threw a helmet once?
Yep, one time. I wasn't a spaz like you. Like, I was just like, I get pissed, but I wasn't gonna start throwing shit.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you remember? This just popped in my head. Do you remember when Anthony Garrett threw you out the club?
So bad my helmet got thrown out the club.
I remember you just staring right at me. You're like, dude, that was bad. Tell me that wasn't that bad. I was like, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Bro, there was no asking how bad it was. I knew how bad it was. I felt how bad it was.
Garrett's
an underrated hitter for sure.
Way underrated. He hit hard as hell. I've been meaning to reach out to him to get him on the podcast, because now he's, I don't know if you guys follow him, he's big into real estate.
He's huge in real estate.
Yeah, and now he's like, he's going to be rolling in it in 5-10 years here. Yeah. He's a smart.
He was in that entrepreneurial grind too. He's always been really smart with that.
Yeah,
he flew under the radar with a lot of things, but I always knew he was smart. But yeah, he was an underrated hitter.
In college, he created like that track spike shoe cover where you could like wear your spikes around without it fucking things up. Yeah, he's a smart dude. Do you ever worry, Mike? We talk about this with Drake all the time, and I've asked him this question. Do you ever like think back to some of the hits you took? Like some of those real ringers, and you think, what's the lasting effect of that? Like, is that gonna come back on me here? And you know,
I don't. I believe it's true, and maybe it will. And I've heard of, or I never watched that movie with Concussion. But for me, like, I walked away from the game pretty healthy. I feel good, so I don't like try to look back at it. I'm sure that it's not smart to run into people for 5 straight years of your life. But for me, I feel good. I want my kid to play football, and I think there's a right way to go about it. So I don't like try to paint that picture.
Sure.
But I'm sure there's a lasting effect for sure.
You think Cox maybe took more of that, or you? I think Cox probably for sure. Little thumb.
Cox took plenty of hits too. I mean, I don't know how his stance on it. He's got a couple screws with himself, but I'll leave that one to him.
I ran into him this weekend. He's back in the building. He's GAing.
I was about to ask y'all how the legacy event was. I want to hear about it.
Yes. Well, they were. Everyone was asking where Drake was.
No, they weren't.
Everybody was asking, "Where's Drake?" We thought he'd be here.
No,
you know. I don't think a single person mentioned your name, but
nobody mentioned my name either. Drake, it's all good.
I did not want to be mentioned, man. I want to fly solo under the radar, except we have this podcast.
When you got guys like Robert Gallery and Aaron Campman and Brad Banks and Nate Kading, I mean, all those dudes were there. So
yeah,
Kevin and I were small fish, but it was good, man. It hurts a little bit to just like walk back through the indoor doors. You like walk in,
yeah,
you smell that hot turf. My wife turns me and goes, it's not very cool in here. And I go,
no shit,
this is as cool as it gets, hon, because
it really is.
Did you like that better than the cold bubble, though?
See, we never practice in the bubble.
Oh, you never got the cold, dude. The bubble.
I practiced in the bubble a couple times. Make growing up in Iowa, we had camps there and stuff, and I've been in the cold bubble.
Yeah.
And the cold bubble is better than the hot
indoor. Yeah. I mean, the bubble got hot too, so I guess it's the indoor is better. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, the indoor is
better. Yeah.
But yeah, so. There was a bunch of cool guys there. It was really weird. I mean, it was fun to see people, but you walk back through, and Kevin and I walk through. It's funny on the like announcement board down in the hallway where like they put the body weight sheet up. I took a picture of this. For everybody on Patreon, who I need to shout out some of the Patreon subscribers, but I'll put this on the Patreon. They have this like announcement, like, what is NIL? How can I make money? And like they have a whole breakdown of like autographs, endorsements, appearances. And then it's like, make sure you know. And then it's like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's so funny how it's like laid out. They have this app for
everything.
Are you
guys going to sponsor a walk-on or what?
Abso-fucking-lutely. In fact, I talked to Jack Kerner.
Shooter. Shooter's got to be number one.
Didn't
man.
See Shooter. Joe Evans came up to me, introduced himself. What a fucking guy. Told him we need 10, 12 sacks out of him this year. And he just looked at Kerner and he goes, yeah, I think I can make that work. And I was like, I fucking like this guy. I like this guy. Man, you forget how big those fucking dudes are. Like, I'm not a big guy. So you walk back in and you're not in that environment every day where it's just, I'm just walking around 6'5", 6'6", dudes. Van Valkenburg, the D end, walked up, introduced himself to me. And I'm like, motherfucker, you are big. And it's just like, yeah. I just don't live. I don't live in that
they're
world
all
anymore.
Like inflated.
Oh, and
they're all like inflated.
And
up.
They're beefy too, dude. They've got that. There's just like a little bit of a D1 fluff to it. Right.
Absolutely.
It's the padding, dude. It's the pads under the pads.
That's catered meals, bro.
Oh yeah. That's a great. Speaking
that
of
grave three times a week,
speaking of Kim and Pete, of course they were there. Shout out to the unofficial sponsor of the Wash Up Walk-Ons, Grays. Pete is going to come on the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Pete. And I told Kim that she should come on too. And she was a little bit more hesitant, but Pete, he told me, he's like, oh, I know exactly what we got to talk about. We're going to talk about this. He had like a whole laundry list of stuff he wanted to talk about. I was like, fuck yeah, dude, come on anytime. Like we've talked about you so many times that the fans probably want to hear from you at this point. They were helping
part
out
of the success.
Oh, it's insane.
Like how many percent of our success do you think goes credit to Grace?
A couple percent. Yeah. A couple percent for sure.
Definitely a couple percent.
You throw him a little commission.
He said the other day for breakfast, they served 700 scrambled eggs and 400 pancakes.
Oh my God.
So
that's for like 150 people.
Yeah. Unreal.
If that
it sounds great now, but like when we were bragging about winning the
the beef bowl or whatever?
Steak bowl or the beef bowl against Stanford, and then they literally ran around through and whatever direction past us. And I was like, oh, fuck, at least we won the beef bowl, boys.
Yeah, we beat them worse in the beef bowl than they beat us in the Rose Bowl, so we got that.
That's true.
Right there.
We were playing against the resurrected Christ. It's not fair.
I mean, Christian McCaffrey.
Still one of the best Drake Kulig moments of my career right there. He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Tell him.
Didn't I tell this before? I feel like I told it.
Tell it again.
It was, we were playing Stanford. You all know the story. It wasn't going great.
We got on the bus afterwards.
No,
this is on the bus. This is on the bus, man. We're on the bus. We were driving down the mountains. We were eating our food. And I was just like, really didn't know we were playing the resurrected Christ today.
It was such like a – no, dude, this was halftime. I know what the quote was on the bus that made me laugh.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't think it's – well, I guess you probably said worse, but I'm going to let you share that one. But
I don't remember.
This was a halftime because I remember it being – unusually quiet in our locker room because you got a lot of guys that like to talk, and we're sitting in our running back group and everyone's just kind of like, fuck, like what are we gonna do here, you know? And we're, as a fullback, you're like, it's gonna be tough for us to make an impact in this one, you know, we're going spread wide, and we're kind of looking around, it's quiet, and turn to Drake and he goes, I didn't know we were playing the fucking resurrected Christ, Jesus, you know. It's just like, it was dead silent. And I just honestly was like, you can't laugh in this situation if a coach walked in, but I was laughing. I was like, holy shit, we got to figure this out fast.
I think I made a comment.
What you said after the game was, I think you, I don't know. I'm like,
share it. I can edit it.
It could be dicey. If Megan is questioning.
No, it's not as bad. Trust me, for your standards, it's not that bad. But like, it depends how some people would take it. That's the way I see it.
I guess.
But you were like, I would throw my mom in a shark pit to be Christian McCaffrey for one day. That's incredible. Just like in that moment, because we were just defeated, and it was like, God damn it, Jake, shut the fuck up. But it was so true. Like, the dude was walking on water for the last 6 hours.
He walked on water that whole season, man. He walked on water that whole season.
Yeah. Who beat him for the Heisman that year? I forget.
Was it? Fuck, I don't even know.
Was it Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry, I think.
Yeah.
We were supposed to play him.
Yeah, because that's who I remember thinking, wow, we got Derrick Henry if we win this Big Ten championship.
That would have been fun.
So fun.
Yeah.
I'd rather get smacked by Alabama than smacked by Stanford. But
at least we could have got smacked by Alabama, man. Like, as bitch as that sounds, at least we could have played him one time just to see what it was like.
I still think we make it close.
Yeah.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Style of play, but
you're lying.
I don't know, man. I think if they figured out, hey, we're just going to go deep, it'd be hard to run with them. I don't even know. I know Desmond is having a great year, but I also know that he can't run with whoever the hell their receiver was.
Amari Cooper?
I'm sure he was pretty good. Yeah.
That guy was good, huh?
I don't know. He was all right.
I remember turning to Marshall and Dylan at halftime, or maybe it was like when we would leave the locker room a little bit early. I was like, well, you know, at least we got to see LA. You know, it's like one of those things. It's like, hey, thanks for coming. You take your sticker and your fucking bowl gifts and head on down the road.
That's what I always say. I was like, well, it was really cool to be at the Rose Bowl for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it got bad.
Yeah, when we walked out, it was fucking sick. When we swarmed the field. And then it got worse.
It was like shaking.
Yeah. We'll come back to some football topics in a second. But shout out to Brian, Randy, Sean, Paul, Jason, and Matt as of recent. We got some true walk-on army in the house, making. We got people that go all out for this podcast. They're just absolutely insane, absurd fans. They ride hard. They come to our defense on Twitter when people try and talk shit. I mean, it's absurd. And
people try and put me on the chopping block quite often.
These six have joined the ranks of the walk-on army on Patreon. Again, patreon.com/washedupwalkons if you want any piece of that. Early access to episodes, video access. We do the roster series, whole bunch of other cool shit. We'll do reaction episodes this season when the season rolls around, which is getting close. I have an interesting question. I was thinking about this the other day. Is there something that you look back on? This is for all three of you. Is there something that you look back on during your career that wouldn't have had to been specific to being a fullback or a linebacker or whatever? Could have just been like daily life habit or whatever. And you think, wow, I dropped the ball on that one. Like during my career, that would have given me a lot of ROI if I would have just changed my habit or change. For me, the easy example is when I went back to freshman year and I just didn't sleep. I went to bed at midnight and we woke up at 5:15 for lifting. Like that's the most obvious of my career. But then now that I learn a little bit more about nutrition and lifting and fitness on a daily basis, just as it's my job, I think, fuck, if I would have been doing this every single day after I lifted or like stretched more or all this shit. And I just wonder if any of you three have any good examples of that.
Tough question.
You feel like you left anything on the table?
I think I was too afraid to fail. I was too scared of getting criticized. And I absolutely was terrified of being the asshole on tape. And it made me play much worse than I probably should have for a long time. And then there came a point where I didn't care anymore. And then I think I started to play much better. But yeah, for a long time, I was terrified of the tape.
That's a great one. I can definitely relate to that. Kevin, go ahead.
No, go for it.
No, please, I insist.
Well, you're going to say something related. Mine's completely unrelated.
Oh, I was just going to say I can relate with Drake saying because I'm now trying to like coach up my brother and how to approach it. Mm. And what I always tell him is don't fucking think twice. Just go in there and run with it. Don't worry about failing. Don't worry about messing up. The number one thing and the best guys are the guys that just compete. They're not like, they just get in there and say, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah.
And like you said, as you get older, yeah, you get better, stronger, faster, more experienced, but you also get more confident. And like you see these pros now, a lot of them, and they're like, they lift a lot, don't get me wrong. And they're training, but a lot of them are just really confident. Like you look at like Daniel Cormier. I was watching him coach the, what's it called, UFC, their show, The Ultimate Fighter. And it's like his body looks like shit, but he's so confident and he's done it so long that he's not worried about failing. He just, when you push him to a certain edge, it's like, I'm going to get this guy. It don't matter who you are. And that like mental, I think, is huge. And people don't understand it.
It's funny you say that because we just had Jason Manson on Thursday, the new director of player development. He was the backup to Drew Tate. And I asked him what it was about Drew that maybe turned out that Drew got those years to start at quarterback for the Hawkeyes instead of Jason. And Jason's words were Drew just played free and he just made plays. He didn't think about it. And Jason always tried to play perfect. And that is almost exactly what you're kind of alluding to there. So
yeah,
it's interesting. And I think that's another good one. Cause I early on in my career, in a specialist career, the execution of that looks like the mental fuckery of, okay, when you're a young guy, you go out there and you try not to miss, right? It's like that phenomena at the end of a basketball game in the NCAA tournament. The teams that are seeded 1, 2, and 3, they're just trying not to lose if they get in that in that weird spot of like, oh fuck, we're supposed to win this. And they're just trying, they're playing not to lose, right? The team from behind, they're just playing to win. They're playing free. It's the same with special teams. Early on in my career, it was like, okay, just don't snap a bad snap, right? Don't snap it bad. And then it becomes at some point, snap it really well, snap it good. Like how well can I snap this? It's not about if it's going to be bad or good. It's how good is it going to be? And
Yeah, that's true.
Kev?
I had a good story for that. Oh, I'm cutting off Kevin again. Sorry, I talked.
No, I mean, you guys had some good examples. You know, what Drake and you make him said, you know, playing with confidence. You know, obviously you'd love to go in there as an 18-year-old kid and play with the confidence that you had as a senior. But, you know, part of that is the process because, you know, you kind of earn the right to play with confidence. And when you're 18 and you don't know the playbook very well and, you know, you don't know your technique very well. It's not like, you know, ingrained in your mind, like what steps to take and all your technique and stuff. You know, it's hard to play that free. You know, it's kind of a process. So, yeah, I would have loved to have been that way. But there's very few guys that can step from the high school field to the college field and just go play ball because they just have that natural talent, ability, gift, strength, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, Kloof. I think I could have done a little bit of everything a little bit better, you know? Yeah. I could have been a little bit better with my diet. I could have been a little bit better with my sleep, a little bit better with my film study, you know? A little bit better on working on technique stuff on my own. But, you know, all that stuff could have added up and made a difference. Maybe, maybe not. But I think I don't have a whole lot of regrets, you know?
Yeah, and I wouldn't even call them regrets so much as it's like, I just could have been better. Like, or I just didn't know. I just didn't know, right?
I want to hear Mike's story.
I think you look back at anything in your life, like, yeah, could you have done better? Yeah, you can devote 60 hours a week to football if you wanted to, but right. It's just like, you know, no one's doing that.
There's diminishing returns.
Right.
For me, it hurts, I think, because obviously we knew sleep, like everyone knows sleep is important, but now that I really know how important it is and how much it would have helped me freshman year, I'd like kick myself all the time for that shit. But Mike, you can tell your story. What did it spark in your memory?
No, it had me thinking two different ways. Like, so I got lucky enough. I was good friends with Mark Wiseman really early on. And for those who don't know, he's an extremely regimented person. So like living with him, It was like, oh, it's 8 p.m. Mark went to bed. And you know, we're young kids, like fucking playing Xbox. Like, but like it, you still notice it. And then you slowly, he was a big time lead by example guy. Yep. And whether you made fun of him or not, it was hard when you lived with him not to like fall in line. It was like he formed a lot of habits for me, and he ate well. Like, you know, you're chilling with your buddies and it's like, what do you guys want to go get to dinner? And half the options that we came up with, he's like, no. Or you do go somewhere and you order something and you see what he's eating. You're like, Jesus. So like that set me on a path that definitely helped me, I think. But I also think, and I look back at this, because this is what I was thinking, I was like, did I get too caught up with that and trying to do everything so perfect and worrying about it? Because my story was, and I'm not going to name his name, but he was an older linebacker and I was good friends with him and we were hanging out and it was about a week before the combine and he was out drinking. We're at the bar and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, you have a combine in a week. And he's like, I'm not changing who I am. I was drinking when I was training. I drank right before I did, you know, this, that, or the other thing. Just because I have a combine doesn't mean I can just shock the system and not drink it, you know, this or whatever. And I think he crushed it. He's a very successful player. But it was just funny. Like, there's two sides of the spectrum, but at the end of the day, you still got to go out and be a football player.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
I do think that your point about Mark, though, is like, I think that's one of the best things you can set yourself up to succeed is put yourself around people, make friends with dudes that are going to make good decisions and want to be successful too.
Yeah. I everyone's got their own situation. Like, you need, like, I mean, I came in at 205 pounds. Like, maybe I needed him to drag my ass to become better. You know, some people don't. Some people are going to have it already or develop it faster without it. I don't know.
And you, so, I mean, as much as I hate you fucking bastards on this podcast, except for you, Macon, and the other boys at Benton, the football is the most important thing to us, and I think that made us all better. And
I was just gonna say, Kev, it's something that my mom brings up a lot, and that sounds weird, but yeah, Macon mentioned it, like living with Mark and Adam at one point for some amount of years, like. Those are guys that live football. Like, there was one goal. And, you know, you had fun, you went to school, but there wasn't a lot of diluted focus towards, like, not being the best you could be. And somehow, some way, and it could just be like, hey, maybe us six gravitated towards each other because we were all like each other a little bit freshman year. And, you know, just something happened the way it happened. But you look at the guys who lived at the Benton house and it's like, holy shit. Like, we picked, it was 6 out of 37 guys. And those 6 out of 37 guys were 6 of the 14 guys who made it all the way through the 5 years. And that's, I don't know what that is, but it's, you know, there's something to that.
And in reality, it's 7, because shout out John Wiz. He made it.
Oh yeah. I mean, he eventually, yeah. And he, yeah, our house was half of our graduating class. Like, that's nuts.
Crazy. Lived at the same address. That is pretty cool when you think about it.
And it more than half, technically, because Ben and Miles were 2 of those 14. So you get down to it, outside of our house, it was Gaffey.
Actually, now when you get down to it, it makes sense why Kevin and Josie won so many awards. Because if you're going to pick the two assholes, one from the back and one from the front, that were going to win all the fucking awards, it would have been him and him. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Here was a humbling experience this weekend. Not only at the Legacy event did I talk to multiple guys who I did not know. You know, like, I had multiple guys come up and introduce themselves to me, former players, like, hey man, love the podcast, love what you're doing, you guys have an awesome thing going. But I talked to the head man, talked to KF, got my 5 minutes with him, and, you know, he asked how things were going, how life was. I said, yeah, you know, it's going great. And I didn't know how to bring it up, so I just straight from the hip said, well, you know, Drake and Kevin and I actually, we started a podcast. You know, we talk. He goes, oh yeah, yeah. Oh, yep. I listened to the one with Lomax and James. And I was like, well, holy shit. We fucking made it. We fucking made it. You're on mute, Drake.
Yeah.
Drake, you're on mute.
Oh, it would make me feel very good if that was the only thing he had ever heard of this podcast, was that one episode.
I it sounded like that's the only one he had listened to, but goddamn, that was like a 2.5 hour episode or something like that.
He told me Mary listens to a couple.
Oh shit.
I thought that was hilarious.
Well, she has a little bit more time than he does, but so that was insane.
What was it like to see him again? Did you feel like crying?
Yeah,
it's just good to see the Godfather again. You know?
He's the same guy. He's
such a good guy.
So for everybody listening, this thing on Saturday was it was 4:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And I shit you not, the man stood there for 3 to 4 hours at kind of the front where you walk in, because he just you can't get away. Every single guy there is like, knows Coach Ferentz, either played for him or he was there back in the 80s when he was the O-line coach. And so a new guy walks in and now it's his turn to get his 5 minutes with Coach. He stood there for 3.5-4 hours with a smile on his face, like he actually wanted to be there, because I think maybe he did. Like, and he just, every single guy talks to every single one, he's got a story or something to bring up with every single dude in his family.
Takes a picture with everybody's kid or something like that.
Stood
like,
there for 4 hours.
Yeah, it was incredible, honestly.
He's
not fake. He's a genuine ass dude.
Here's what I said. Yeah, I also said this. I told him, Coach, you after I mentioned the podcast, I said, Coach, you always told us to not listen to the noise, and now we're the fucking noise. So I apologize. And he goes, he laughed his ass off. So first off, made a joke that Coach
Good
laughed at.
Stuff.
And after he got his chuckle in, he goes, Hey, no hard feelings. It's nothing personal. he's still fuck you for doing it. But it was good. It was good. And he's just the same guy, man. I mean, just he's the same dude. Every time you talk to him, every time he rolls around, it's just he's an incredible motherfucker. I know that. That we stayed at the new hotel, my wife and I did. Right across the street from Kinnick. And that is where the boys are going to be staying for camp nowadays. There is no Coralville Marriott. No more Coralville Marriott.
Wow, so, that's an incredible development for the boys.
So no more
vans. Boys.
No vans. They're walking over and walking back each morning and night. Oof. And which kind of sucks, but also it's like a 3-minute walk. It saves like 10 minutes on that drive out to
honestly, fuck that drive so much. I would rather limp from the complex.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're going to be put up in the Courtyard Marriott right across the street. It's a great hotel. And I got one night there and it was fantastic. And that's the new development. So there is no more. Now, when we talk about the Marriott, it's still a Marriott, but it's not going to be the same. Like all the guys from here on out, they will not know what it's like to walk that fucking back hallway all the way to the vans and have Murph pick you up and not know if Murph is going to get you to the complex.
There ain't a guy left on the roster that knows the struggle of camp anymore. There's no more two-a-days.
They are going
our senior year.
Yep. They are going 17 days this year, which is longer than they've gone the past couple of years.
They got like breaks in between.
Yeah. There's no real two-a-days. I think Van Valkenburg said they have they're cut down to like 8 full contact practices or something like that.
Excuse me?
Like it's wild. Like they can't. And then we made a joke because then Kerner was like, yeah. Macon's
pissed. That was done in 5 days. That was done in 5 days.
Yeah, correct. Then Kerner was like, yeah, we can't do any. Kerner was like, we can't do any hard collision drills anymore either. So like no combat drill. And I was like, yeah, you boys are basically you're soft as shit now. And Valk looked over and goes, well, are we still going to do blocks? And I was like, oh, you boys are doing blocks. You're not getting out of that one. The NCAA could come down with ultimate sanctions.
I don't know what Iowa football is without blocks.
KF and the boys might as well retire. I mean, fuck it. At that point,
if KF can't do inside run drills, he will retire.
Yeah.
If they force inside run drills out of football, KF will retire instantly. I do believe that.
Yeah.
It's more of like a repetition thing. Like he doesn't even need to see it. He just needs to know that we did it.
Yeah.
Half the time.
Yep.
And he needs to know that the guys that are going
nowhere else on the field that he's going to be during the block period. And at the blocks. Oh,
he'll be there. Oh, yeah, he's there. He loves it. But he knows it's like it's part of the culture. It's like it needs to be done a certain amount of times per year. Mm-hmm. And that's his calling card.
And he knows he needs to know. He needs to know without a shadow of a doubt that the dudes running into the minefield are going to run hard.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. You've got to hear those pads popping.
God. Right. Oh, dude, I as a specialist have – PTSD from watching blocks, and I didn't even have to participate. Just the crack, and then it's immediate right to the next group. Crack to the next group. Crack. Bring it back. Run it again. Oh my god. Yeah. But Mike, what you mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to, and this includes your bro. In fact, I don't know if it's just going to be every guy, or do we just say fuck it and we just go with the walk-ons? I don't know.
Oh, it's just walk-ons, bro. It's walk-ons only. Okay. This is a walk-on podcast and we're exclusive.
We're gonna be coming out with like some exclusive shirts that are like maybe it's initials real small somewhere. I don't want to do name on the back because that's a little bit cheesy for like division
on the football. Sleeve.
Yeah, sleeve, or just like they used to do, like, so Johnny Plev, JP is going to get his own shirt and every walk-on's going to have a washed up walk-on's t-shirt to rep that says like walk-on mentality or something. We still got to figure out the design, but
I love it. It's
going to be pretty sick.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. The NIL shit is crazy. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's crazy. It's probably driving KF nuts. He won't admit it, but like,
yeah,
I know how much he hates like social media. Or he doesn't hate it. He knows how much it can open up liability for young kids.
Yeah.
So he understands that it's something that he can't control or guide. And this, even I see it, and you see some kids like, it's just like, dude, you focus on what you can control. Focus on football. There's some guys that definitely should cash out and make some money, and that's why I'm happy that they're doing it, 100%. But I feel like there's got to be some structure, like. A lot of these guys might get taken advantage of for, I just wish there was like a special, like nobody knows what to do. I've talked to like 3 different guys and they're like, well, what should I do? I'm like, I don't know. I've never done it. But if you can make money, make some freaking money. Just make sure you don't make a dumbass move, because I don't know what the right moves are.
Bro, I'd be going straight to the Ram Ranch. I'd be like, yeah, I play fullback for the University of Iowa. Can I sponsor the Ram Ranch, or can I be sponsored by the Ram Ranch?
Or do Dodge Ram? Every fullback in America, like, with a Dodge Rams partnership. That'd be fucking amazing.
Right. Like, what's is there any like rules to that? Like, can you have as many as you want and just
fuck so, a lot? I don't know. Hey, no rules.
Yeah. So this
that's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like they're going to get taken advantage of, but I also want them to make some money if they can. So, good luck.
I think and people don't like this because people want to ultimately protect and ultimately save and ultimately coddle these days. But something like this has to just have a growing pains period. There just has to be a 1 or 2 year period here. And it just so happens it's going to be the next 24 months where some kid gets fucked over by a company, or some kid makes $5 million and the company is like, well, that was too much. And some weird shit happens. Right. And then it's going to even out. It'll baseline and people will kind of figure out how to do it and the going rate for everything. And in 3 years, it will be nothing. It'll just be like, yeah, kids are allowed to do this, and it's pretty much smooth riding. But on that same sheet.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Sorry. Here's my question. Can you, as a booster, let's just throw out the SEC, not that they.
Hey, tell them, Macon.
Can you approach a kid and be like, hey, you know, you can make money as an athlete. How much money you want to make if you play for the
University of Texas?
Yeah, exactly. That's my question. Like,
so
where's the limitations at?
So
you're probably going to have contact with them, but, you know, say when you're on your official visit, you just happen to run into that guy. I don't know.
Well, this is why
we
need
into the
Kevin.
Right bathroom stall.
Yeah, this is why we need Kevin to work his way up the striker. The striker hierarchy eventually.
C-P-O.
Yeah.
C-P-O.
Eventually, Kevin's rolling with the Billies in his bank account. And then Kevin happens to be that guy that is walking next to the complex on official recruitment night. And all of a sudden, weird, there's $50,000 in an envelope in every recruit's hotel room. Like, that's.
No. You can do it. You can do it legally.
Oh, you're right.
You just say, hey, for an autograph.
Yeah, right.
You sign your letter of intent, then you sign an autograph right after it.
Sign my wife's tits. I'll give you
$100,000. Oh, my God. So what's really interesting, too, is at least at Iowa, because this was also on the sheet. Maybe this is proprietary, but I'm just going to say it anyway. On that sheet that said, what is NIL? What is NIL? How can I make money? On the other sheet, it had screenshots of how you go about logging your NIL transactions. And so you literally put in, it said, if you make money, here's how you log that within our, it's called the influencer app.
Gotta pay taxes.
Yeah, you log the number, you log who you did it with. I think
they're going to be real pissed when they start getting their tax forms, dude.
Oh, maybe, but like at the same time, if you're paying taxes, it means you made money. And if you made money,
what if they spent too much?
Well, then they're going to be, they're going to learn how to be an adult real fucking
real. That's what I'm saying.
And you know what? Again, that's one of those things where I just think it speaks to, well, then the most mature programs are going to be the ones who come out on top. Or some kids are just going to fucking get away with some shit. I don't know. It's yet to be seen.
I think you should have somebody. I think the best way to do it is you got to lean into a little bit and have a guy there that can, you know, like your own team agent that can help some guys.
Yep.
You know, like this is how, you know, we can hook you up here. We can do a signing. We're just doing it with the juniors and seniors or starters. And you got to have someone who can kind of look out for them and organize that shit. So we can make some money, but you're also protected. You're not signing something that's going to screw you over in 3 years if you make it to the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like, you got to lean into it. You can't, it's not, it shouldn't be the wild, wild west, but then what do you pay that guy? And yada, yada, yada.
Right. And I do think that along with that app, that they're like a company, and I think they offer that service to Iowa. So I think there's something set up like that. It's going to be interesting.
Does anyone know if all these, NIL deals, are they going to have to be disclosed at all?
To the public?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. But to the university, yes. So.
I mean.
We're going to find out.
So you're going to find out which universities are dirty.
But, what's your thoughts on if guys are doing a weekly podcast? And it's Thursday.
Well, then I'm gonna say Barrington, I'm gonna fucking
like, I'm saying, like, if you're KF, you're in KF shoes, and you got your guys that are doing, you're getting paid to do a weekly podcast on, let's say, Thursday night. You know, there's gonna be a little tip of the hat, or at least a try for a tip of the hat. How do you do that? What do you say if you're coach?
If I'm setting that up.
I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah. Come on, mate, you just fucked our whole game plan. If we're going to start bringing Spencer on every Thursday night to preview the game with us, fuck.
No, but I mean, I think that's actually pretty clear. You treat it like media. You got to go through Steve Rohn again, media approved.
Yeah.
You think?
I don't know. If it's your own thing. Probably not.
It's not a team event. You're not speaking on the University of Iowa Hawkeyes.
And again, this is
Kevin Ward podcast.
Yeah, this is where it comes down to, well, do you have guys who are mature and are going to make a good judgment call of, should I be podcasting on Thursday nights during the season, right? Like, I don't know, man.
That's where it gets strange.
But if any of you current players want to come on the fucking podcast during the season, and give secrets, maybe give a little bit of a game plan, we will accept guests. I'm kidding.
Well, what you got to do is just, you hold on to that video until Sunday morning, and then make some predictions. What do you got? They might not trust you, but
jeez.
It'd be cool to see.
We're going to have to add Macon to the Washoe Pawkins payroll with those kind of ideas.
Hey, wait. When the fuck did we get a payroll?
How's about to say, man? I got a paycheck in years.
Fuck you guys. You've been known that we make a small amount of cash and you send it all to the children's hospital. And you guys probably use that as a ploy to make you guys sound really good. Drake and Kevin, they donate all their money. We basically donate all of our money, and all the other money sits in a bank account waiting to buy merchandise that fucking honeypot Dale just tries to slow down. For those asking, I'm still trying to figure it out. We had it all done deal. Then they made us sign a form. Then they made us get signatures. It's incredible what you have to go through with compliance. They basically make you give collateral, like a left arm or your second child's naming rights or something like that. So it's absurd.
I've got pot roast to eat and Harry Potter to watch, bro. Can we wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. What's the prediction for the rest of this basketball series?
Bucks and six.
Is it Bucks and six? Did they just end it?
I mean, I would say that
Bucks and six.
I would say that at this point, Phoenix is probably plus 200 for game six. It's bad, dude. We're underdogs for sure.
Well, I with Macon playing up the whole 28 years of pain, I'm kind of cheering for Milwaukee. I think I was on the
dude, and the way that you guys show out for the finals games, like, you honestly kind of deserve it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate the no fight here, no contest.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's 28 years of my life. It goes a long way.
No, I know.
So, did Giannis have a contract extension or something a year ago or something, a year or two ago?
Yeah, we got the big three signed for the next 4 years, baby.
Strap so on. He was a superstar and decided to stay in the small market.
Yeah, he decided to stay because he's loyal.
I respect the hell out of that. Give me the bucks.
Fuck with that.
There you go. Yeah. Well,
we.
As much as you would appreciate the championship for Milwaukee, Macon, we appreciate you coming on the podcast and giving us your time, man.
Always, always good to be here, boys. Hopefully we can crush some beers in Iowa City soon.
That would be.
Are you guys going to any games?
Or Nashville. Drake?
Kevin and I will be at some games for sure. Kevin and I will be.
Fucking live on Melrose Street, baby. You know I'll be there.
Yeah, I'm coming in for sure. I'm going to Ames too. I'm not missing that one.
That's gonna be a big one, boys. It's gonna be a big one.
I'm jealous that you get to feel that vibe.
It's gonna be a vibe.
When can we go to a Drake Kulik fight,
dude? It might be a few years, man.
Couple years.
There's a lot to learn.
Bad, huh?
Combat sports is really hard. I got humbled very, very much in my first 8 or 9 months. I'm getting good, but there's a lot of guys that are really good.
Oh, I bet.
There you go. Bucks and six. Macon Pleva, everybody. Episode 233. Glad that you were
love
here.
Love y'all, boys. I'm out.
See you next time. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.